I'm sorry, love, but he's not my responsibility. My brow furrowed as she walked away. Unlike her, I couldn't just let it lie. I had been lucky. I survived the fire I had lit. I couldn't allow him to hurt anyone else, not when I was equipped with truth. But the police had been called. I'd been served with a harassment warning. Who would believe me now?
Chapter 64. Alex. 2017. I exhaled in relief as I caught sight of Jamie shoving his feet into his furry brown slippers as he sat on the edge of the bed. Guess what? I said, smiling widely. I've got a surprise for you. There was nothing more Jamie loved in the world than a surprise. As for me, I'd had more than my fair share. His face lit up with excitement as he ran towards me, bouncing as if he had springs in his feet.
What is it? Is it ice cream?
It's far better than ice cream, I said, bending on one knee to accept his hug. We're going to Nanny's today, and she's going to buy you all the ice cream you want. I knew Mum was counting off the time until she got to see Jamie again. Jamie had responded with a squeak of excitement before a dark cloud crossed his face.
What about Mummy? Is she coming too?
Mummy's going to follow on, I said, feeling a pang of regret. Was I doing the right thing, leaving without telling her? I could not have this argument in front of our son.
Mummy had a knife. She was going to get the bad man.
Jamie raised his hand in a stabbing motion, filling me with terror. Any remnants of doubt dissipated in that second. I needed to get Jamie away and fast. I checked my watch. Soon she would be logging into the school webcam to check that he was there. Did you see anyone apart from Mummy last night? I asked, the response being a quick shake of the head. I think she just had a scary dream, I reassured him.
Playing with knives is dangerous,
Jamie said, repeating a phrase I had drummed into him many times before. That's right, I said. Mummy was very naughty and she won't be doing it again, but she feels very bad for frightening you, so perhaps we won't talk about the knife anymore. Now, what say we get you dressed for Nanny? She can't wait to see you. I quickly flung our belongings into a suitcase. I could come back for the rest later, when I had Jamie safely tucked away. Mum was only too pleased to help, not that I could tell her everything. Within half an hour, Jamie had eaten and the packed cases were in the hall. I took one last glance around the house I had dreamed about leaving. I'd never envisioned it would end like this. I found a piece of paper and scribbled a note. Emma, I've taken Jamie to Leeds for a break. Teresa knows everything. She will help you to sort yourself out. When you're feeling better, you can follow on. But right now, some time apart would do us all good. Jamie said you had a knife last night, and that you left him alone because you were going to stab someone. Is this really how you want your son to see you? You need to face facts. You need help. I'll call you later. Please, for the sake of our marriage, see a doctor. I know everything and I'm willing to work through this, but you have to make the first step. Love, Alex. After strapping Jamie in the back of the seat, I dialed my mum's number. Hi, it's me, I said, trying to sound happier than I felt.
Oh, you don't usually call me this early. Everything all right?
I smiled. That was my mum, straight to the point. I imagined her with a cuppa and a magazine in front of the television, waiting for Loose Women to start. Not really, but it's nothing to worry about. Listen, would you be able to put Jamie and me up for a few days? I'm leaving now. Her demeanor brightened.
Of course, I'd love to. There's lots of room here.
It was true. Mum still lived in my childhood four-bedroom home. I thought you'd say that. Hopefully there won't be any traffic hold-ups. We'll probably stop for a break along the way, but if I leave now, I should be with you by around 2.
Wonderful. Just enough time for me to pop out and get some shopping. I know how much Jamie loves his ice cream.
Don't go to any trouble, Mum. And not too much junk for Jamie. He'll be bouncing off the walls. I could sense her hesitation on the other end of the line.
And Emma, is she coming too?
I peeped in through the car window at Jamie, who was no doubt listening to my conversation. Leaning against the door, I briefly turned my back to him. Maybe later. We've had a bit of a falling out. Listen, Mum, I'll explain everything when I get there. I have Jamie strapped in the car, and we're ready to leave. Can you do me a favor?
Of course, she said.
If Emma rings, say you've not heard from me. The last thing I want is her turning up on your door.
Okay, but I'd like to know why.
She's not been well, I interrupted. Problems with her nerves. I was speaking on my mum's level now. It was a phrase she had used many times before. If she knocks on the door, I don't want you to answer it. She's not thinking clearly. I don't want you to let her in.
Really? I can't do that, turn my back on my daughter-in-law?
Mum scoffed.
Surely we can sort this out.
We will sort it out, but you have to promise me. Don't answer the door to her or anyone you don't recognize.
Very well, she said. But I want to know everything that's been going on.
You will, I said, not necessarily meaning it. Some truths were too horrific to deal with. I opened the car door and climbed in. It was time to walk away.
Chapter 65, Emma, 2017. Sometimes it's not so much you choosing the dress as the dress choosing you, Josh said, sounding like a natural. I watched through the crack in the door from the back of the room as he coaxed our newest client. We have lots of different types to select from, he said. Silhouette, A-line, fitted, flared, you name it, we've got it. You've a figure that's crying out for a fitted dress. He looked the woman up and down with the eye of someone who knew what they were talking about. Then you have waistlines to consider. Material rustled as he worked his way through the hangers. We've empire, natural or asymmetrical. Then you have to decide what neckline you want. Halter, strapless, sweetheart or V-neck. Gosh, I didn't know there was so much to take into account, the young woman's mother said. Josh dazzled them with a smile, acting like an old hand. Some people just like to come in and pick something off the hanger, but we like to look for the wow factor, something that will blow people away. A lot of our gowns are pre-loved, but they're all bang on trend. Take this rail, for example, he said, flashing his potential bride a smile. We've got glamorous to simple, sparkly to vintage and everything in between. I could keep going, but I think the best thing to do is to try on some fitted dresses and see where you go from there. The wedding's not for another 9 months, is that right? He asked, and the young lady responded with a nod of the head. Well, you don't look like someone whose size fluctuates, so at least we don't have to worry about lots of alterations. My shoulders dropped as I relaxed a little. At least my business was in safe hands. Which reminded me, where was Teresa? She was meant to be helping this morning, but was yet to make an appearance. I had tried both her phone and Alex's, but received no response. Come to think of it, Jamie was yet to show up on the CCTV. It was 11 o'clock. Surely Alex had woken up by now. I quickly checked the diary, which was free of further appointments. After clearing it with Josh, I popped outside to knock on Teresa's flat upstairs. It had come with the lease of the shop, and at the time provided her with a home. I was so sorry for her after her divorce. I couldn't imagine what it must have felt like, being cast off like a bag of old clothes. Now, as I knocked on her door, butterflies flapped mercilessly in my tummy. Alex was deliberately blanking me. What if I was the one who would end up being alone? Relief swept over me as she answered, but it was short-lived when I caught sight of her red-rimmed eyes. Still wearing her pajamas, she led me up the narrow set of stairs to her one-bedroom flat. A thick, cloying smell hit the back of my throat as I inhaled, making me temporarily forget my concerns. "Sorry about the mess," she said, pulling back the living room curtains. White streams of dust-moted light flooded in. It served to highlight the takeaway cartons, peeling wallpaper, and piles of clothes littered around the room. I had been so busy with the business, I had not visited Teresa's flat in months. I hadn't even asked her how she was. "Are you okay, sis?" I said, casting a concerned eye over my sister, who was hastily finger-combing her hair. She shook her head. "I wasn't going to say anything. The divorce papers came through today. I'm officially single." She gave me a watery smile. I berated myself for being so selfish. "Come here," I said, reaching out to give her a hug. But it was brief as she turned away, making an excuse to open the window. "I'm okay. It's what we both wanted. It makes me angry when I see everything that he has, and you're stuck in this shitty flat." I finished her sentence. She smiled, despite herself. "Careful, sis, you're beginning to sound like me. But yes, I'm halfway through my life, and I've sod all to show for it." She picked up a pile of unironed clothes from the sofa and made space for me to sit down. "I hate to see you like this," I said. "You've always been the one who keeps me afloat." Lost in her misery, she didn't seem to hear me. "You know what hurts the most? I put off having children for years because he wanted to wait, and now he's dumped me for his pregnant girlfriend. Time is ticking. Who's going to want me now?" I took her hand and gave it a squeeze. "We pretty much gave up on having kids, and now Jamie's in our life. He's a big part of yours, too, isn't he?" Teresa nodded, and she stared at a photo of Mum, which was hanging crookedly on the wall. "Are you missing her?" I said, trying to put my problems aside. She responded with a one-shoulder shrug, as if she did not trust herself to speak. There must be more than the divorce upsetting Teresa. Her flat had not fallen into decay overnight. But our conversation was cut short as her mobile phone rang on her table. My husband's name flashed up on the screen, and we met each other's gaze. Why was he ringing her and not me? Teresa snatched the phone, quickly disappearing into the kitchen. Just what was going on?
Chapter 66, Emma, 2017.
I waited in the living room as my sister spoke in low tones to Alex on the phone. As I took a step back, I was drawn to the stagnant, earthy smell coming from her open bedroom door. I turned around, wondering what she had in there that would cause such a stench. I didn't notice Teresa's voice fall silent until I was at her bedroom door. "Everything all right?" she said, an edge to her voice. I jumped. "Oh, you gave me a fright. Yeah, sorry, it's just that, well, I think the place needs a bit of an airing. I was going to open your bedroom window. There's quite a pong coming from there." I glanced down at the muddied boots outside her bedroom door. "It's nothing, just a problem with the drains," she said, leading me back to the sofa. "I'll get it sorted, but I need to tell you something first." "I should really be getting back to Josh," I said. "I only called in to see if you were able to make it to work today." Then I remembered that Alex had called, and I read the concerned look on her face. "Is something the matter?" I said, gripping her forearm. "Jamie, is he okay?" "They're both fine. Alex rang from a stop-off at a petrol station. He wanted me to talk to you." I frowned, taking a seat beside her. "Why didn't he call me himself?" Teresa rubbed her face as if this was the last thing she needed to be dealing with, on top of everything else. "He's taken Jamie away for a few days. He's asked me to come and stay with you while you sort yourself out." My heart flipped in my chest. Taken Jamie away? I don't understand. Where's he gone? "He didn't say. He's going to call you later once Jamie settles. They told me what happened last night, how you were running around the house with a knife, scaring Jamie half to death." I rose, my fists curled by my sides. "It wasn't like that. I was trying to protect him, Luke was at the window. I saw him. Settle down, she said calmly. He's not left you or anything. He's just taking a break. It's been very stressful for him too, you know, and he's got his new job to consider. If he blows that, then none of you will be going anywhere. He had no right taking Jamie like that, not without my permission. Emma, this is me you're talking to. I know you better than anyone, and you're not an easy person to live with. Your eating disorder, all that stuff with Mum, and now look. People do have limits, you know. I think you forget that sometimes. I looked around the dirty flat, at Teresa's disheveled appearance. I had come here for my own reasons, but was shocked to see what a state she was in. Sorry, I said quietly. Perhaps you should stay for a couple of nights while I give Alex some space. We can talk things through. We could do with a proper catch-up. It would be good for her to have some company, and I was scared to be alone in case Luke returned. Alex had disturbed his game-playing last night, but I had nobody to protect me now. I checked my watch. I'd better be getting back. Do you need a hand cleaning up before I go? I eyed the bedroom. If there were a drainage problem, surely it would be coming from the bathroom instead. Whatever it was, she didn't want me to know about it, or perhaps she was just ashamed I had caught her out. No, you get back to Josh. I'll take a shower and join you in an hour. And Emma, don't try ringing Alex. He's back on the road now. It might not be safe. He said to tell you that Jamie's fine and he'll speak to you soon. I nodded dumbly, the guilt making me feel like my heart had been wrenched from my chest. I knew I had frightened Jamie last night, and for that I was thoroughly ashamed. To be honest, I had frightened myself. I was on an emotional seesaw, experiencing cycles of lucidity and aggression, with a hazy fog of confusion in between. The slashed dress, the incident in the car park. Had I orchestrated it all myself? It was a chilling prospect. But I had received phone calls, hadn't I? I knew it was him. I had not imagined a hooded face at the window. It had been dark outside, but it was Luke. It had to be. I said my goodbyes to Teresa, my thoughts tormenting me. Perhaps if I saw a doctor, cleared my head, then these torturous feelings would go away. I needed to eat, to make myself strong. I had to fight for my family, if I had any hope of winning them back. And somewhere in my mind was the thought that I was not the only one with secrets. Teresa was hiding something too.
Chapter 67 Alex 2017 I hadn't intended to call Teresa, but the further I got from home, the guiltier I felt. I thought about how I'd feel if I was the one back in Colchester, completely oblivious of the fact my son had been taken away. I knew Emma would be checking the webcam and would panic when he didn't show. Yet again I found myself relying on my sister-in-law to bridge the ever-widening gap between my wife and me. I could only hope that she would make her understand. Mom's house in the suburbs was warm and welcoming. Deep, luxurious carpets graced the floors, and floral sofas dressed with plump cushions and soft throws made the living room a very inviting place. I inhaled deeply as the enticing aroma of freshly baked Victoria sponge teased my senses. It felt good to be home. Jamie loved it here too, and it did not take long for him to settle in. I wished that we'd moved here earlier, but Emma had expressed reservations. She'd needed time to dig up the body on our land, of course. I wondered what Teresa had done with the remains, and felt my appetite fade. Shuddering, I directed my focus to Jamie, who was sitting on the living room floor. Wearing a huge smile on his face, he tore open the wrapping on the present my mother had bought.
A Nintendo DS!
He squealed, taking it from the wrapping paper, pausing only to give Mum a hug. You shouldn't have gone to so much expense, I said. He's only 4. He'll barely be able to play. But my words fell on deaf ears. Mum was positively glowing in his presence. Despite our regular phone calls, it had been hard for her, living so far away. It was a part of our relationship that Emma could not understand. Mum and I were close, but it was not something Emma had experienced, and once I saw her rolling her eyes as Mum called us for the third time that day. I caught my thoughts. What was I doing? Trying to justify leaving my wife? I had a good reason. I had unearthed more than a body last night. Simmering resentment had risen to the surface, too. But I could fix this. I had to. We were over the worst. Emma would be by my side when she was well enough to join us.
If I can't treat my own grandson, then who can I treat?
Mum said smugly. She was only 5'1", and with her short permed hair and colourful clothes, she was the sweetest person you could ever meet. But Mum was like me, fiercely protective of her brood. I knew she was desperate for the truth.
Besides, she lowered her voice, you made it sound like he's going to be here for some time. I didn't want him getting bored.
I knew the remark was a request for further information, but I was still raw from recent events. I'll fill you in later, I said, with as much reassurance as I could muster. I slid my mobile from my pocket, activating the screen to bring up a recent missed call. I've got a phone call to make. Can you watch Jamie for 5 minutes while I take it outside?
Of course. I'm not going anywhere, she said, throwing me another inquiring look.
Thanks. There's some business I need to take care of that can't wait. I pocketed my phone and walked into her small garden. Before we had left for Leeds, I'd conducted a hurried online search and hired a private detective to dig into Luke's whereabouts. Since our grim discovery in the field, I'd come to my own conclusion. But I still needed to know the identity of the man I had met in the pub. There might have been a grain of truth in what Emma had said about seeing someone at the window, but it was surely beyond a coincidence that the man calling himself Luke Priestwood had contacted me. I returned the missed call, nibbling my bottom lip as I was put through. The private detective, a man by the name of Edwin Burroughs, sounded more like a grandfather than one of the old action types who usually portrayed such roles on TV. Pleasantries over, he launched into the reason for his call.
I thought you'd like to know that I've tracked down your Luke Priestwood. Seems he's been keeping tabs on you through social media.
I frowned. I'd been waiting for him to tell me there was no trace of him. Are you sure it's definitely him? I said, scratching my head.
Without a doubt. I've checked out his credentials. He taught art in Colchester before leaving under a cloud. He's worked various jobs since then. His credit history is nothing to write home about. He had a few relationships. Doesn't seem to hang on to them for very long.
And now, I said, trying to come to grips with this latest revelation.
He works in the York Art Gallery, but I wouldn't bother visiting. He's on leave for the next couple of weeks.
How? I said. I mean, you said he was keeping tabs on social media. I'm not on Facebook, and neither is my wife.
But her sister is, Burroughs said. I friended her myself. Seems she's not too fussy about who she accepts. You should have a word with her. She's sharing images of your son online and saying how much she's going to miss him when you move. They're innocent enough, but she should change her privacy settings and only friend people she knows. Anyone can hide behind a fake name and a phony profile picture. She's too trusting by far.
I ran my fingers through my hair as life took another twist. How I'd missed having normal friends, good company, an ordinary life. It was all within my grasp if I could just figure out what was going on. My forehead creased as an image flashed in my mind. If the man I'd spoken to really was Luke Priestwood, then who had we just dug up? I thought of Teresa, insisting we keep digging, of her tears as she gently wrapped the skeleton in the cloth. A sudden sense of urgency bloomed. I had to get hold of Teresa and find out what the hell was going on.
Chapter 68, Emma, 2017.
Despite Teresa's reassurances, I felt forlorn. I had wanted to leave work, catch a train, and get to Leeds to see my son, but an influx of customers gave us all a busy afternoon. Teresa had advised me to give my husband some space, assuring me that she wasn't letting me out of her sight. But the day had dragged on as I continuously checked my phone, waiting for Alex to call. Now, with evening drawing in, I was finally back in Mersey. Teresa's holdall thumped against the front door as she entered the living room. I told her I'd be going to Leeds as soon as I had cleared it with Alex. There was no way I could stay away from my family for very long. Besides, Luke was closing in, and I didn't feel safe here anymore. I picked up Alex's letter from the kitchen table and read it 3 times before it sank in. What did he mean, "I know everything"? How was that possible? How could he possibly know? "Storm Jessie's in full flow. I reckon we'll lose a few roof tiles tonight," Teresa said, her eyes dancing around the room. She carried the same nervous look that accompanied every visit, but I could not think about that now. I shrugged, the weather the least of my concerns. The house seemed so cold and unwelcoming without Alex here to light the fire and stir some warmth into the place. I unwound the silk scarf from around my neck and hung my coat on the back of the kitchen door. Teresa caught my glance. "Why don't you sit down? I'll rustle us up some supper." "You're my guest. I should be doing the cooking," I said half-heartedly. "I'll end up eating lettuce leaves, if that's the case," Teresa said. "Sit yourself down." "Thanks," I said, pulling the latch tight on the kitchen window as memories of Luke's face filtered in. Soon, a pot of chicken soup bubbled on the stove, something Teresa had concocted from the leftovers in our fridge. I took 2 bowls from the cupboard and laid them on the table. "Alex is right. A fresh start is just what we need," I said. I had to think positively. I would go to Leeds and win back my husband's trust. I would book myself into a clinic, if I had to, as long as I was close to my family. I slipped 2 soup spoons from the drawer and placed them beside the ceramic bowls. Teresa's face took on a serious aspect. Taking the bread knife from the block, she began slicing the tiger loaf she had bought on the way over. "I'm going to miss you when you're gone." Her face grew more serious as she sawed at the bread. "I always seem to end up the one that gets left behind." There was a depth of emotion behind her words. I knew she felt she had been given a raw deal. I poured the soup, waiting for her to join me. "There's something I wanted to tell you. I've been waiting for it to be finalized, but now seems like a good time." I looked over my shoulder. "Come sit," I said. "It's good news. I've cut you into the business." Dropping the knife, Teresa carried the bread from the counter to the table. "I don't understand," she said, her face pale. "Dad should never have cut you out of the will. My inheritance, I spent it on the business in the hope that it would grow so we could split it one day." A smile broadened my lips as I relayed the good news. "I've signed over 50% to you. I've easily enough money to start another shop in Leeds. The Colchester branch is yours to run. I've had the papers drawn up. You can rent your flat to Josh if you like, give yourself a pay rise, and buy a house of your own." I don't know what to say," she said, her mouth falling open. "You don't have to say anything. It's yours." Dad's legacy had left a bitter aftertaste, and I was relieved to be able to put things right. The fact that Teresa was my half-sister was never discussed. She was only a baby when Dad took her and Mum in. But it had obviously been a deep-rooted issue for him, and I wondered if that was why she had left home at such a young age. As a child, I was too wrapped up in myself to notice. But now I wondered, had she felt like an outsider all along? I sipped a spoonful of soup in silence. This was not the reaction I expected. The back door rattled on its hinges. Outside, the storm had taken hold. Usually, I would be figuring out how I was going to expunge myself of calories, but I could see Teresa's thoughts were troubled, and I leaned across the table, touching her hand. "Sis," I said, flinching as she withdrew. "What's wrong? I thought you'd be pleased." "I don't deserve it," she said. Her eyes reached mine, but they were cold and troubled. "I'm sorry. I can't accept your gift." My heart flickered in reaction to the intensity of her gaze. It was as if a mask had dropped from her face, and her true expression was revealed. I clasped my hands together, the fingers of my right hand touching my wedding ring on the left. Suddenly, I felt very alone. Teresa cleared away the bowls, even though I had barely touched a drop. There was no coaxing me to eat tonight, no gentle words. "Dad cut me out of the will for a reason. I don't deserve anything from you." I winced as she gathered up the dishes and cutlery from the side and threw it all in the sink. Pots, pans, everything went in, and I pressed my palms against the table to rise. "We're some family, aren't we?" She emitted a humorless laugh. "Some people have skeletons in their closet. Ours has a whole graveyard." "I don't understand," I said, feeling bewildered. But she barely heard my words as she mumbled under her breath. "I thought things would improve after you left, that maybe you didn't need to know. God knows, you and Alex have enough troubles of your own." I rose from the table, watching her hang her head as I rested my hand on her shoulder. "Sis, what is it? What's wrong?" She swallowed, and her face seemed pained as she faced me. "It's Mum. I know where she is."
Chapter 69. Luke, 2003. The light of Emma's bicycle had now been replaced by one of a scooter. The tinny sound of the 50cc engine tore through the night as she drove to the beach hut to meet me. I'd only half expected her to come. It seemed that there were a few kickings left as far as Emma, my little puppy, was concerned. Despite everything I had done, I only had to click my fingers and she would appear. Her phone had been singed in the fire, along with all the things she had stolen from my room. Of course, I knew what she had taken, having made a careful inventory before telling her my house would be empty for the day. It paid to think ahead, and it had worked out beautifully when I had gone to the police and reported the items stolen. That and my concerned chats with my colleagues were enough to convince them that she was at fault. It was fortunate that I had conditioned her to delete her texts, when all I had to show them were insistent requests to meet up from her. Yes, that side of things had worked out very well. I had enjoyed our little games, but now I had needs to be met, and she was becoming a real thorn in my side. The bike engine extinguished as she parked it around the corner. Minutes later, she was at my door. Just like before, she was red-faced and flustered, but I sensed something different in her expression this time. Gone was the neediness I had enjoyed feeding off in the past. Tonight, her dark eyes regarded me with contempt. That I had not expected. "Thanks for coming," I said, walking past her to slide the bolt across the beach hut door. "We don't want to be disturbed, given your brush with the law," I explained with a half smile. "You've taken a chance turning up here." "I've been waiting to have it out with you for a very long time," Emma said, her words low and menacing. "I wouldn't have missed it for the world." Gone were the floaty skirts and the tight tops. Her long, slender legs were encased in a pair of flared jeans, a quilt patchwork jacket zipped up over her t-shirt. She'd had quite a transformation since the fire, and it wasn't just her wardrobe. It led me to wonder if I had kicked this puppy for the last time. "If you're looking for burn scars, there aren't any," she said, catching my lingering gaze. "No thanks to you." "Oh, please," I said, narrowing my eyes in a look of disdain. "I knew I'd never get rid of you that easily. And besides, you lit the match, not me."
I'm glad my dad found me in time. You weren't worth dying for. I must have needed my head seen to, getting tangled up with you. You're nothing but a predator.
She gave me a look of unveiled disgust.
As if you're capable of loving anyone but yourself.
I took a step towards her, closing the gap between us.
You couldn't get enough of me. Remember? On this table, how I hitched up your skirt, and... What did you call me here for?
She said, taking a step back. She was looking less sure of herself now, her eyes telling me it hadn't been such a good idea to come here after all.
I hear you've been trying to befriend Sophie Smith. I want you to back off. Stay out of my business.
I felt a flicker of anger rise from within as a smug smile appeared on her face.
I'm just biding my time until I catch you in the act. I might not be able to follow you about, but there's nothing to say I can't look out for her.
I stabbed the air with my finger.
I'm warning you, and I'm warning you,
Emma said, surprising me by answering back.
She's only 15. Leave her alone.
She's 16 soon, I said. And if you don't stop getting in my way, I'll call the police. Tell them you've been harassing me again. You could get sent away this time. Sudden laughter erupted from Emma's mouth, dark and throaty.
And what are you going to do? Report me for protecting her from becoming your next victim?
She shook her head.
Do you know what you've put me through over the last year? Do you? You were my first kiss. Then you took my virginity. Two things in the world most precious to me. But I let you have them because I thought you were special. I thought you cared. It was bad enough that you dumped me so callously. But then you fixed it so I couldn't talk to anyone about it.
Her chin wobbled as she spat out the words.
I had to bottle it all up, because confiding in anyone could explode in my face. I'd be called a slapper, 16 years old and sleeping with my teacher. But it didn't stop the whispers in the girls' toilets after class. You drove me to attempt suicide, but you weren't happy with that. After you called the police, I knew nobody would believe me. I was a silent victim, but not any more.
She prodded me in the chest.
You lay a finger on Sophie, or any other girl in school, and I'll catch you out and I'll tell. I swear it. I'll tell everyone. I won't rest until they put you behind bars.
Oh, no, you don't, you little bitch.
Grabbing her hand, I twisted it around her back. She screamed as I led her to the table, pushing her face down hard on the wooden surface. Leaning over her, I exerted every ounce of my strength to show her she was sorely mismatched in this fight.
I've lots more evidence against you. Remember that time you broke into my bedroom? Climbed inside my bed? I've got you on CCTV, and I've manipulated the date. So all I have to do is call the police and say you've been back.
I ground my pelvis against her hips, my erection straining against my jeans.
This is why you've really come back here, isn't it? Because I'm happy to give you a repeat performance if you like.
No, please,
she whimpered, completely at my mercy.
Because if you say one word about me to anyone...
I leaned over her ear, spitting the words into the side of her face.
I mean one fucking word. I'll come back to get you. Maybe not now, but sometime in the future. Just when you're least expecting it.
I licked her face and she squirmed beneath my touch.
You can spend your whole life looking over your shoulder, because nobody messes with me and gets away with it. And I'll make it good. I'll make it so nobody believes you. You may think you can come in here and start calling the shots, but you remember one thing.
I pulled her arm back another inch until she screamed.
I can fuck you up any time I like, and nobody will believe you.
I'm sorry,
she whimpered, tears flowing freely down her face.
I'll leave you alone. Please, let me go.
I backed away, my arousal evident. She rose from the table, and with her tear-streaked face and disheveled hair, she looked half-woman, half-girl. As she pulled the bolt across from the door, I blocked her escape with my arm. Do we have an understanding? Emma nodded, a small sob jolting her words.
Yes,
she said.
You won't hear from me again.
Chapter 70 Alex 2017 My throat was scratchy and sore, and I recognized the early signs of a cold, no doubt a byproduct of my nighttime excursion with Teresa. I looked back on those hours from a distant perspective, as if they hadn't happened to me at all. I suppose that was how it was becoming with Emma. A coping mechanism when the horrors of her actions ran deep. As I paced Mum's garden, I couldn't help but feel that I was missing something. I'd thought I was doing the right thing, taking Jamie out of harm's way. But was Emma that much of a threat? None of my friends in Leeds knew of my troubles, and I did not want to upset Mum by telling her the truth. The only people who knew Emma's secret were Teresa and me. Emma said she was a victim. Teresa said the exact opposite. Who should I believe? A few weeks ago there would have been no question. I would have sided with Emma. Yet every time I felt compelled to believe her, something happened to change my mind. If the DNA test had turned out differently, lying to me about Jamie was a betrayal too far. I still found myself wondering if we could work around it. Jamie was the best thing that had ever happened to me. I'd been desperate for a child, and I knew I had piled the pressure on. How could I be angry about that? On Mum's radio in the kitchen, a George Benson song played. Nothing's gonna change my love for you. Our first dance. I felt a guilty pang as the tune filled the air. It was as if the world was conspiring to bring me back to her. I'd meant every word as I hummed it to her on the dance floor. Why hadn't I been honest with her and told her that I knew there was more going on between her and Luke than she was letting on? Internally, my emotions played out a game of tug-of-war. I took a breath as I found my mother in the living room. I had to get a grip. I had Jamie to think about now.
What's wrong now?
Mum said, concern growing as she took in the expression on my face. I've got to go back to Mercy, I said, keeping my voice low. Can you keep an eye on Jamie for me? I think Emma's in trouble. I should never have left her.
I wish you'd tell me what's going on, she said. Alex, are you listening to me?
There's no time, I said. I think her sister wants to hurt her. I can't get through on the phone. Please, Mum. She exhaled in frustration.
What am I going to tell him?
I kissed her on the cheek before opening the front door. Tell him I've gone to get his mum. I'm bringing Emma back.
Chapter 71 Emma 2017 My eyes widened at the force of my sister's revelation. Where is she? I said, the thought of my mother setting my nerves on edge. I'm sorry, Teresa said flatly, but she never left. My gaze fell on the living room door, as if I had expected her to make an appearance, but I knew from the tone of Teresa's voice that it was not likely to happen. I had not wanted to believe what my father had hinted at all these years, that the real reason he had built the bench at the foot of the oak tree was because he needed a place to visit my mum. I hadn't been digging a vegetable patch the day Luke came to challenge me. I'd long suspected that there was more to Mum's disappearance than either Dad or my older sister were letting on. It felt like there was some sort of conspiracy between them, and over the years, I'd grabbed on to the one explanation that made sense. I was finally confronting my secret fear that my mother had been buried on the land adjoining our house all along. Mum's leaving had been so sudden, coinciding with Teresa's departure shortly afterwards. I hadn't wanted even to consider the thought that she was no longer alive, but the way Dad behaved gave me plenty of cause for concern and doubt. The missed birthdays, the Christmases that passed without a word, I couldn't help but wonder why Mum had not got in touch. Sometimes I silenced the niggles, but when Dad became ill and we came back to Mersey, I could no longer ignore my suspicions. The faraway look in his eyes, his mumbled regrets in his last days before he passed away, all conspired to give me no choice. I had to unearth the truth once and for all. "She's dead, isn't she?" The words came out as a whisper. "He buried her next to the tree." The glint in Teresa's eye cast a chilling reminder. I had seen that look many times in my youth, and her resemblance to Mum caught me off guard. "It was the day Dad said she left," Teresa recounted, unable to meet my gaze. "Mum had been drinking, and she was in one of her moods." "I remember," I said, clawing back the image from the bowels of my memory. "She caught me binging, and shoved my head down the toilet to teach me a lesson. Then Dad came home, and he sent me to my room." "I'd just come in when their argument kicked off," Teresa said, her fingers tightly clasped around each other. Dad's arms were all scratched from where Mum had attacked him, and next thing I knew, she was going for him with a knife. She would have killed him. He had no choice. "No," I said, bringing my fist to my mouth, as the pain and fear of that day came back all over again. My bravado left me. I wasn't ready for the truth. "I don't want to hear it. Please, don't say any more." I tried to turn away, but Teresa rose from the table with me, gripping my forearm and gently stilling my movements. "I can't leave it there. Not now. We need to get this out in the open so we can both move on with our lives. Surely you had your suspicions." I sighed, feeling something shift from deep inside. The clues were there. I remembered what she had been like that night. It was their wedding anniversary, and Dad had been gone all day. But regardless of her behavior, she did not deserve to die. "Did she suffer?" Teresa shook her head. "It was an accident. Mum launched herself at Dad just as he turned to leave. I saw the glint of a knife in her hand and screamed at her to stop. Dad pushed her away to defend himself, but she was drunk and stumbled." Her eyes turned to the living room door, to the real reason she could not bear to be in this house. "She fell on her knife. Within seconds, she was dead." She paused, the memory of that awful day etched on her face. "I wanted to call an ambulance, but it was too late by then. We had two choices: call the police and risk Dad being falsely accused of murder, or cover it up." I don't believe it," I stuttered, yet somewhere inside, I knew it was true. Dad was covered in scratches. The police might not have believed it was self-defense. He did what he had to do to keep the family together. "Do you remember how I stayed with you for ages, telling you everything would be okay?" Teresa sniffed as a tear trickled down her face. "You were playing some god-awful music to drown out the sounds of their argument." "Pink Floyd," I mumbled, remembering how she had come into my room and reassured me. There was an edge to her voice that had made me scared that day. Now I knew why. "I never knew where he buried her until he was dying. He told me he was scared. Scared to die because Mum would be waiting for him." Her fingers relaxed on my arm. "Then he said it was my fault, that I shouldn't have got involved." She shook her head. I think he was trying to pass on the blame before he died. Writing me out of the will just reinforced it. And you're sure she didn't suffer? I said numbly. No, Teresa said softly, plump tears gathering in her eyes. It all happened so fast. It was an accident, I whispered. You should have told me. You didn't need to shoulder this on your own. I waited for the right moment, but it never came. Dad paid me off. He couldn't bear to look at me because I knew the truth. I was scared you'd feel the same way about me too. That's crazy, I said. I remember what Mum was like. That day when she shoved my head down the toilet, I thought I was going to drown. Dad should never have let things get that far. He never was very good with confrontation. A bitter laugh escaped Teresa's lips. You know, I used to lie in bed at night, thinking about Mum. I wanted to see her one last time. But then I look around this house and realize she never left. She's in the floor, in the walls. She's waiting for a peaceful burial in a marked grave. Dad couldn't bring himself to do it, but I can. Chapter 72, Emma, 2013. I frowned in irritation at the knock on the door. Blooming postman, I muttered. Can't I get a minute's peace? Snapping shut my laptop, I rose to answer the insistent rap. Alex had finally gone to work, and I had snatched a spare moment to research a subject that had been banned from discussion. Lately, all I could think about was getting pregnant. I reminded myself to delete all trace of my visits to the sperm donor website when I was done. As I twisted the door latch, my breath stilled at the sight of the bright yellow bouquet of flowers before me. Luke, I said. My breath cut short at the sight of my old teacher. I gripped the door, preparing to slam it in my unwanted visitor's face. A bemused smile crossed his face. Now, Emma, is that any way to treat an old friend? He had aged since my school days, but was every bit as intimidating. Dressed in a shirt and trousers, his style had hardly changed from when we first met. I had thought about this moment many times, and what I would say if I saw him again. But now that he was here, I struggled to find the words. What do you want? I said, a sudden rush of dread like ice flooding my veins. My husband will be back any minute. We both know that's not true, he replied, pushing past me into the hall. His voice trailed behind him as he let himself into my home. I thought you could do with some cheering up after your dad dying. He made the nationals, you know. A big name in the archaeology world. I didn't say you could come in, I stammered, following him into my kitchen. I rubbed my neck, the ghost of his breath still heavy on my face. He rested the flowers on the table, as if he knew his way around. He said something about a reunion, and I realized he had a bottle of red wine in his other hand. I couldn't get over his gall. After everything he'd said about me stalking him, he turned up at my house like nothing had happened. I want you to leave, I said, reversing against the kitchen counter. Luke advanced upon me, the tang of his aftershave assailing my nostrils. His eyes were intense, carrying the flame of a long-buried anger. Don't be like that, he said, his icy cold smile freezing me to the core. I thought we could have a drink together. I just want to clear the air, take some responsibility for how things turned out between us. My chest tightened as my memory of our shared past re-emerged. I thought of our last meeting in the beach hut, when he had forced me across the table and threatened to hurt me if I didn't back off. But it had not stopped me. Because of my actions, Luke had lost his job. But why now? After all these years, had he only just discovered it was me who was responsible for his dismissal? His excuse for wanting to patch things up almost seemed reasonable, had it not been for that cold glint in his eye. You sent the sunflowers after Dad's funeral, too, I said, the words a whisper on my lips. Of course. Aren't you lucky getting another bunch? Aren't you going to put them in water? He said, looking me up and down. I wished I was wearing jeans and a jumper instead of the blouse and skirt I had chosen that morning. I was glad of the excuse to turn my back on his gaze. I never thought I would hear Luke finally admit the truth, that a tiny piece of him enjoyed pulling my strings. I swallowed to clear my throat, placing the vase of flowers on the side. Life goes on, I said. I just want to forget about it now. I watched his every move as he prowled around my kitchen, his eyes never leaving mine. Do you remember little Sophie Smith? It was strange how someone tipped off her parents about the night we arranged to meet, he said, tracing his finger over the backs of the chairs where Alex and I sat to eat. Why would anyone be so vindictive? Things were different back then, I said. As you said, it's time to move on. It's a good idea. In theory, he smiled. But then some of us find it easier than others. Got a good job, have you? A husband. A nice home. Seeing that photo in the paper of you at your father's funeral really stirred things up for me. Made me wonder how far you'd come. My lips thinned as I failed to form a response. His mood was darkening, and I was too scared I'd say the wrong thing. My eyes trailed to the knife block, but I tore them away as he caught my gaze. Forget about the drinks. Why don't we continue this conversation in the lounge? He said, swiping at my arm. No. Squirming from his grip, I made it to the back door. If you won't leave, then I will. Fine. Make a run for it, Luke said, as I twisted the key to release the lock. I'll just wait here until your husband gets home. Alex, isn't it? Perhaps he'll give me a warmer welcome. His lips widened in a smile. I'm sure he'd love to hear about your school days. Does he know what a little goer he's married to, gagging for it at the age of 15? I'll deny everything. He won't believe you, I said, standing with my back to the door. But Luke was quick to respond, with a speech he had no doubt practiced many times before. He'll believe the police, he said, advancing upon me. I still have the copy of the harassment order against you. And then there's that video footage of the time you broke into my room. Shameless you were. What were you thinking when you were lying on my bed? He rested his hand on mine, forcing my fingers to lock the back door once again. His skin was icy cold, and I shuddered beneath his touch. I thought after I last saw you that I could let things lie. But we have a history, you and I, he said, coaxing this time. Unfinished business. I cursed my inability to stand up to him. Suddenly he was the one calling the shots. I broke off, desperately trying to find the courage to finish my sentence. You want to put all that behind us? Is that what you're trying to say? He interrupted, his face pressed close to mine. You see, I want to forgive you, but I just can't move on. There's an outstanding debt between us. I made a promise, and I feel it only fair I carry it out. He turned his head, his eyes roaming around my recently inherited home. I've not had things as easy as you. It's hard to get a job without a decent reference to my name. What do you want? I asked. Money? I've got a couple of £100 I can give you, if you promise to leave me alone. A sly grin marred his features. Now, we both know it's not money I'm after. Reaching behind me, he pulled the clip from my hair and, just like before, allowed it to swing free. This is what I want, he said, his hands cupping my shoulders. You, now, once more, for old time's sake. Then I'll walk away from here, and you won't see me again. And if I don't, I said, my heart thundering in my chest. I knew I should run away, grab my phone and call for help, but my limbs felt like lead, my body froze.